everyone, and welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Pastor Shio, Whitney Shio's husband.
And this is the place where we believe that every marriage out there has a chance.
Yes, every marriage has a chance to be awesome and also to be fulfilling.
And we just like to provide encouragement for, you know, every couple out there, because it's so needed, and it's really nice just to hear it from someone who's been there. We've been married for 13 years, and we also have 4 children. So we definitely know that the day-to-day thing can get overwhelming, and some of the tips we give here are really easy to do, but at the same time, it's really easy not to do.
Easy to do, but easy not to do.
Right. So a lot of it just comes down to just being able to remember and stay present in the moment and just try to practice some of these things.
Cool. So what are we talking about today, Whitney?
So today I wanted to talk about, how do you handle difficult in-laws?
How do you handle difficult in-laws?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you do that?
So I just wanted to exchange some ideas with you, Pesa, on how someone can overcome some of the things. Can be just tiny, little annoying things, mm-hmm. but then there are other situations that can actually blow up to be a lot bigger than that.
You know, I have like the best in-laws, so I don't...
It's funny you should say that.
So I don't really know what you're talking about.
Oh, so you can't help us? So, I think one of the first ideas that really, really helped me is if I know I'm about to go to a family gathering.
So, are you saying you have terrible in-laws?
I'm not saying I have terrible in-laws, but I've definitely been through some issues that I know I can help other people with if they're currently going through some of those obstacles. So one of the first things that I remind myself, if I'm about to go to a family gathering, is I think, okay, you know what? We're about to be in a room crowded full of relatives, and it is almost inevitable that someone at some point will end up saying something really stupid. Whether it's a joke or whether they mean it or whatever, it's bound to happen. Most likely it will happen. And this is not only something that is limited to a group of relatives that are meeting. This can happen in any meeting, any environment at all. So that really puts me at ease. Because sometimes holidays for some people bring like more anxiety.
Can you tell us one thing that happened for you, to you? Maybe so we can, at least you can have an idea what you're talking about. I mean, so,
it's a touchy subject.
I mean, so, cause I really don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. The first scenario I'm going to give you is I want to introduce the idea of a court holder. And
again, we want,
if you're not,
we want the nitty gritty.
You
we
want a
know
juicy
what,
story.
Yes, we
want to
know what happened.
So from that, me. Okay. I'll save that for the very end. I'll give you guys a really, really drama packed story at the end. Okay. The idea of a court holder. And if you've never heard of that term before, which I had not either until I just read a book recently that used that word to describe the type of people, or just people who, when they're in a group of friends or coworkers or relatives, they seem to talk the most.
Okay.
You know those people. So they seem to dominate most of the conversations that are taking place. So when I was in middle school, I would have viewed that, I would have viewed a court holder as someone who is, like, extremely popular.
Yes.
And they are very well liked, and that, and in my mind back then, that would have meant that they had a lot of power.
A lot of power over
a
you.
A lot of authority.
Okay.
I don't know why it was that way, but that's just how it was.
So somebody who talks the most, you felt like they really knew...
They just seem...
A lot.
They just seem to be really well-liked. And there's always that insecurity, like, okay, well, I guess maybe I'm not... What if I'm not like them?
Okay.
What if I'm... So a court holder is someone who dominates most of the conversations. So whether it's happening with relatives or just in any setting, I wanted to share just that word with everybody and what it means.
So the court holder, they just give the impression that they know a lot, but they really don't know a lot.
Right. That's what I'm getting. That's what I was getting to, is the fact that it's a lot of fluff. They appear to have more authority than they really do.
Okay.
So they're holding court. They seem intimidating, but there is no need for you whatsoever to actually feel intimidated by them or feel threatened in any way by this person. So if you can think of a particular relative that you have who acts this way on the holidays.
Do you have a particular relative?
Again, I'll save a story for the end. Okay. I promised. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. So if you can think of that person, maybe there's more than one. Honestly, they could be doing this for any reason. It might just be that they have a really outgoing personality. And yes. They are just a really talkative person. It could also mean that they're just excited for the event itself. They're just excited that everybody's there and it's time to talk. It's just, that's all it is. But if
so, does this court holder also, like, as they're talking, do they bring everybody together? Do they, like, include everybody in the conversation, or they are not including other people in the conversation?
Usually, no. This is not the most inclusive person. And which brings me to my next point, because we all know people who, when they talk, usually they either add to us or they take from us. And what I mean by that is we know people who are just so positive and giving, and when I say giving, I mean, like, they ask, oh, how are you doing? They don't start with their life history when they have a conversation with you. But, and then there's the opposite, people who you actually feel like you've been robbed after they speak to you, because they're either rude, like they're a downer, they're really negative,
yeah.
Or they're like a chronic complainer.
Okay.
So
this court holder, can they also be a chronic complainer?
Yeah, usually what I've noticed is usually they're complaining about something. Their stories revolve around, like, some things happening to them. But they try to make it in a way that it's more important than anyone else's story. And the reason why I felt the need to bring this up is because if the court holder that you're having an experience with is negative or rude or says something offensive,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's to you, I just want to encourage you to keep in mind that it's really not a lot more than just noise.
Okay.
That's really... And that's just coming from experiences that I've had. The court holders that I know, they can also be seen as a noisemaker. There's no need for you to be bothered by what they say.
Okay.
There is no need for you to be upset by something that they insult you with. And
Although they're insulting you.
They insult it, yeah. And the word belittle, if they're belittling someone, just look at the word belittle. It's actually to be little. So...
To make you smaller.
They're trying to make you smaller.
Okay.
But in reality, they're making themselves smaller. They're making themselves be little. I know it's like a weird play on words, but really, they're trying to put you down, make you feel bad, because that's the only way that they can feel important.
By making you feel small.
Right.
Okay.
And I mean... This is some... I saw memes online the other day, and one of them said, we should be thankful for every other day of the year that it's not Thanksgiving because we don't have to meet with our relatives.
Wow.
So, I mean...
And I know we are having this this podcast because we are getting ready for the Easter holiday, where most of us will actually go and meet... in-laws.
Mm-hmm. It's useful for any time that you're actually getting together, because going back to that whole idea of someone either adding to you or taking from you, anyone who would just go around taking from people emotionally, they're like, honestly, like, there's no reason at all to hold a grudge or to feel upset because of someone like that.
Yeah.
And then Pesa is always good at reminding me of what James Wedmore says. What about hurt people?
Yes. He says that hurt people hurt people.
Yeah. So someone who's hurting is more likely to hurt someone else.
Yes. And sometimes somebody is speaking, but they are actually not speaking because they are not themselves. They are actually, it's the pain coming out. They are mm-hmm. in some sort of, maybe they are depressed. They are under some psychological pain, or just they are going through a hard time. And somebody says, like, if you go to a place like the emergency room where people are having a lot of pain, mm-hmm. physical pain, or even psychological pain, those people are not the nicest.
Right.
Because they are actually going through a hard time mm-hmm. of their lives. Mm-hmm. If you might find the same person a few days later, they are healed, and maybe you find them in their office. They are the nicest mm-hmm. people ever.
Mm-hmm.
But when they are having that much pain,
mm-hmm.
They are not pleasant to be around.
Right. So, so this whole thing of intimidation really is nothing more than a bunch of fluff. There's no reason to show up for a holiday get together or at an in-law's house and feel like, oh, just feel intimidated.
But you see, sometimes you might be intimidated if you forget the reason why you are there.
Right. So what's the reason you're there?
It depends, but If the reason you are there is to meet family and also to have a good time with the grandparents,
mm-hmm.
you can go there and do that. But and ignore these court holders or people who are just having out there mm-hmm. to intimidate other folks. But
right.
if you forget why you are there, you'll start getting into a match with them, trying to mm-hmm. outdo each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like that point that you just made. Don't forget the reason why you're there to begin with. Because the reason, what's the whole purpose for a family get-together? It's for family to get together and enjoy.
Yes.
But if these hostile feelings are being exchanged, that actually moves people away from each other.
Yes.
So that really... it creates a distance between all of the people who are in the room and defeats the whole purpose of the get-together to begin with. So.
You know, you brought up a nice point. I have a friend, and she's a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
She takes pictures. And she was saying that the advice that she gives to families during this time, like Easter or Thanksgiving, where there's a lot of family get-togethers, is to tell folks that we'll be taking pictures, mm-hmm. and take pictures before the event, like before people have been together for a long time. So as people are coming in, mm-hmm. they are reminded that we are going to take pictures. And so she made up a joke. She's like, yeah, before Uncle Bob start drinking, take the pictures.
Right.
But that was very interesting to me because she had a plan on how to achieve why she went there. She wanted to keep the family memories when things are great. She understands that sometimes things can get crazy, mm-hmm. but she wanted to preserve the family memories when things are nice and peachy. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until the end of the day when everybody is like tired, nobody wants to be there. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you are trying to get everybody together for a picture. It's like when everybody's still fresh, excited, nobody's drinking, nobody has been on each other's neck.
There haven't been any arguments yet.
Take the pictures then. So she is very clear what her mission was when she goes to a family get-together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great suggestion. So if there is a particular in-law of yours who usually talks to you in a way that you feel is offensive, or they make remarks to you that are cutting, I just want to encourage you by saying that usually that person probably does that to everybody in the family, and you're just one person on a long list of others who know that particular individual has that reputation.
You can even start like a support club
for being like, everybody knows that person is like that.
Yeah.
And usually these are the individuals who have these characteristics of court holding or intimidating or acting as though they're superior. And so I just wanted to give you that bit of encouragement, because sometimes it's when someone does make a remark that is cutting or insulting, we take that insult to heart and we feel like, okay, I guess I really am what they said.
Okay.
I really am this, the loser that they're implying I am, you know? But so,
and you brought up a nice point,
mm-hmm.
implying, not, yeah. So sometimes they don't even say it.
Yeah.
It's where you are in life and how you take their words.
Yeah, I mean, that can be a huge, huge part of it, how you react or how you respond to it.
It's how you took it. Because that's where you are in that place in your life.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So there can be a distinction, because if someone's implying something, maybe you can ask yourself, okay, am I taking this in a certain way that, I mean, that shows that I'm insecure right now about something? Or if they are directly just saying something that is totally, totally mean to you, like, just honestly, I just want you to remember, keep in mind that you're probably not the only person that they do this to.
Yeah.
It's not unique.
Okay, so it's not unique because it's how they actually run their lives.
That's how they talk.
Yes.
That's probably how they talk to everybody. But honestly, it's just, I want to make the point that you should not feel upset by someone like that. I mean, there's just no reason at all. And I actually found a really, really, really cool thing on psychologytoday.com. It doesn't say specifically who wrote it, but it's about resentment. So it makes me think of times when someone made a really rude comment to me and I actually felt insulted and held on to it. So it starts like this. The moment you start to resent a person, you become his slave. He controls your dreams, absorbs your digestion, robs you of your peace of mind and goodwill, and takes away the pleasure of your work. He ruins your religion and nullifies your prayers. You cannot take a vacation without his going along. He destroys your freedom of mind and hounds you wherever you go. There is no way to escape the person you resent. He is with you when you are awake. He invades your privacy when you sleep. He is close beside you when you drive your car and when you are on the job. You can never have efficiency or happiness. He influences even the tone of your voice. He requires you to take medicine for indigestion, headaches, and loss of energy. He even steals your last moment of consciousness before you go to sleep. So if you want to be a slave, then harbor your resentments.
Wow.
So, again, that's something that I found on psychologytoday.com. Unfortunately, it doesn't give the name of the person who wrote it, but...
What's the name of the topic? What's the name of the blog post?
The blog post is 10 Steps to Letting Go of Resentment.
Is that the one that was written by Mark?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It says it was written by Mark Sichel, LCSW. So
what does that mean?
I don't know.
Licensed something something.
Yeah.
Social worker.
Clinical social worker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it licensed certified or?
Anyway, I just want to give credit where credit is due.
So what's his name again?
But I really thought that was very inspirational, and it's something that really helped me, because sometimes it really can be difficult to let go of a grudge, especially if you really do feel as though someone did something wrong or said something totally wrong to you. So
what should you do? Just let people walk on you?
No, not let people walk on you. But I think that aside from taking control of the way you react to these things, and just keeping in mind that most of it is just fluff. It's just noise. There's really no substance to it at all. I mean, it's just people talking.
Yes, can you say basically that again? Because that's actually the most important thing in mm-hmm. this podcast, that mm-hmm. most of it is what?
Most of it is fluff. Let it go through one ear and out of the other. It's
amen.
Whether it's intimidation, it's really fake because they don't have authority over you. If they're holding court, doesn't matter. They want to make themselves look more powerful than they really are. But again, when you belittle someone, you're making yourself little. They're not making the other person little.
No.
So it's all fluff. It's meaningless. And to disregard some of these cutting remarks, it's a lot easier said than done. And I totally know that. I know it is. So I do know some individuals who take these comments straight to heart, and they live with it forever.
Yes.
They keep the grudge with them with no intention whatsoever of letting go.
And especially for when you're a kid, mm-hmm. a young person, and you hear these comments,
mm-hmm.
yes, I can see how you can take that for the rest of your life, and in a way actually defines, in a way start defining who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're in a family get together and you have this uncle who is always putting you down, saying mm-hmm. you're so dumb and you'll never amount to anything, mm-hmm. some kids can actually take that,
mm-hmm.
and even when they're 60 years old, they're still
mm-hmm.
Having that doubt, are they smart enough, can they really handle this, because mm-hmm. of some cutting remarks which were put mm-hmm. in their mind during a family get together.
Right. And again, I mean, just one more reminder, whether it's with in-laws or with whoever, Just that whole idea of intimidation. Do not be intimidated, because you are enough, basically, yes, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. You are enough, and no one should try to give themselves authority over you in any way. And I know there are some get-togethers where relatives will try to imply that their kids are the most successful kids.
Oh, yes.
You know those. I'm sure we can all think of that scenario. But also, another way to cope with that or ignore that, however you want to look at it, is I want Pesa to explain the idea of upsetting the apple cart to us.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. In some family get-togethers, there's some family members who feel like they're kids, mm-hmm. or they are up high on the hierarchy, in the family hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have the best job, maybe whatever. Like, they just...
They drive the most expensive car.
They drive the most expensive car, or they just feel like they're closer to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of upsetting the apple cart is when you show up and you are quote-unquote doing better than them.
Mm-hmm.
So, in one way, they want you to succeed.
Because
mm-hmm. they don't want it to be a burden to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, they want you to have a job, be able to feed your family and things like that. But they don't want it to be so successful...
That you surpass them.
That you surpass them. Because when you surpass them now, you are actually what you accept... upsetting the apple cart,
mm-hmm.
and now the rankings,
mm-hmm.
the quote-unquote rankings, will have to be flipped.
Oh, okay.
Yes, okay. And this happens when, like, you see, like, the last born,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or just some kid who everybody just knew that they won't amount to anything in life. Maybe they dropped out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
They were not listening to the parents.
They didn't follow their life script.
They didn't follow the family life script.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as they want them to, they want him or her to succeed, that mm-hmm. means get some sort of a job and just being, be able to take care of their themselves. You don't want them to be an Oscar-winning artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because now everything will be upset and... now they'll be the most successful person in the family mm-hmm. after screwing up that much.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So in a way, upsetting the apple cart is they want you to succeed,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want you to really succeed.
So they want you to have enough to support yourself. But they don't want you to become a millionaire or something.
No way. No mm-hmm. way. Because that's going to really change how the mm-hmm. family dynamics mm-hmm. are.
Okay.
Yes.
It'll screw up the ranking. Okay.
Yes. And just literally the family dynamics. And
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of folks in families who literally their job is to make sure and to remind everybody where they are in the quote-unquote ranking. So maybe they have a great job at the bank
mm-hmm.
and... maybe their son graduated from college while other kids never graduated from. So they just mm-hmm. hammer that over and over and over
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. just to show that, hey guys, I'm doing well.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So also another thing is, as you mentioned, some people are literally hammering this. They're talking about it a lot. But also there can be that implied notion that they're doing way better. You might just interpret, you might get a vibe
mm-hmm.
feeling like the way you're saying that some of these relatives make it very clear. They are actually vocal about their quote unquote ranking in the family or
yes.
how well they do.
Yes.
But there are also situations where they might not even be saying anything. They might not feel that way at all, and they might not even be talking about it, but some of the rest of us actually get the vibe
okay.
that they do feel like they're better than us. So that can also cause issues, too. I mean,
yeah.
that can... But again, that's... It all just goes back to... if you're in a place in your life where you're feeling inadequate mm-hmm. or you're feeling insecure, like a lot of us do, a lot of us go through those stages in life, some of these things are really hard to deal with.
And some folks, you were talking about the implied, that I'm better than you, the mm-hmm. implied one. They can have symbols, mm-hmm. status symbols, mm-hmm. like maybe they can just say, you know what, I'm buying food for everybody, or I'm doing something for everybody, just mm-hmm. to imply that they got this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Or in the evening, I'm going to take all the kids to Chuck E. Cheese, and they can,
right.
And they can play all evening long, mm-hmm. and which is great for the kids, but it actually sets a hierarchy of who has the power and who doesn't.
Right.
And
right.
Again, if you are not prepared, this can be really intimidating. Mm-hmm. And if you're not prepared, it can be really intimidating, especially mm-hmm. if you're very insecure.
Right.
Yes.
Right. But folks, I get it. I mean, insecure or not insecure, there's nothing more repulsive than someone who thinks they're the center of the universe. And so, and I get it. Some relatives, I mean, 2 hours with them is enough to last for 10 years. Some in-laws, relatives, whatever you want to call it. But I just want to, again, encourage you to keep in mind there is no reason for you to feel inferior or feel intimidated.
There's not any reason for that. So you have promised that you'll give us some juicy story at the end. So we are ready.
I just did.
I thought there was something else.
I gave you a whole bunch of stuff.
But we are looking for a blow to blow.
A blow by blow.
Blow by blow, juicy. She did this, I did this, she did this. There's okay. Nothing.
Okay, maybe in the next podcast I'll do that.
Folks, do you guys hear that? In the next podcast, we'll be getting a blow-to-blow.
Okay, all right. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back. You can always, always, always ask us questions or reach out to us. We're on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shio.
And I'm at Pesa Shio. And also, you can also hit us on Facebook. We are at Facebook.com/ Live Your Best Marriage. And again, folks, until next time, take care and have fun at your family get-togethers. Bye.